Hola, fuckers and fuckettes. What it is? What's going on? Welcome to today's episode of the Mofo Show. Man, I got dogs on the brain right now. Let's talk about dogs. Dog pound. So, I've been a dog guy pretty much my whole life. Love dogs. Just absolutely love dogs. Currently housing three dogs. We've got Sammy Sampson, the ruler of the house, weighing in at 8 pounds. And then we've got Rudy Roo. Rudy Roo is Yogi's daughter's dog. He is an Australian shepherd. And now we have the Buddha. The Buddha weighs in at 60 pounds at 5 months old. Now he's 6 months old, but yeah, he's 60 fucking pounds. This dog is huge, right? Dogs are amazing. Amazing. I've never had a service animal. I don't think I'll ever get a service animal because there's people out there that would benefit way more than I ever would. But I tell you, what I get from dogs is amazing, right? I was thinking about some of the dog quotes I've heard over my life, right? And I think the one that really resonates me with dogs' lives are too short. Their only fault, really. And they are too short. Which kind of brings me back to the topic of lost. Loss. Got to enunciate. Got a yellow lab that stayed with my ex when we split up. And he's coming to that time where you really got to start thinking about quality of life. He's got cataracts in both eyes. He's basically blind. But he's happy. And I was talking to my ex about it today. I found a picture of the ultimate dog I've ever had in my life, Remy. Remington was a chocolate lab. Buddha right now is trying to fill those paws. And I think he's got a good shot at it. But, you know, it's so hard to do. Remy's always with me. He sits right here in my office in a nice oak little box. I've always wondered, you know, when you find the ashes or you receive the ashes of someone, what are you supposed to do with them? And I think when the time is right, I'm going to put him where we love to go, where we love to hunt. I'll take him when I go hunting and leave his ashes out in those areas when I get to that point. But I just haven't been ready to let go yet. And it's been 7 years. 7 years since we put him down. And I still find comfort in his pictures that I have hanging up in his box. With his remains in that box. I still carry his tags on my hunting vest whenever I go hunting. My upland bird hunting. I've always got Remington's tags jingling away. Again, hoping to fill him with Buddha here. I think the time is right. I think I've waited long enough, so we went and got this puppy. I'm not sure that puppy is the right descriptor. He's a monster. But everything he does with such enthusiasm. it just amazes me. And I think that's the coolest thing about dogs is they're just excited about everything. And I think that's one of the things that has really given me some drive, some pep in my step here the last few months having him around. It adds to my happiness. It adds to my happiness to see his happiness. And then he makes me question things in the greatest ways. Like, I've forgotten how to be excited. I've forgotten how to feel things, and he shows me every day how to be excited about grass, how to be excited about a bumblebee, how to be lose your fucking mind over a tennis ball. It's those little pleasures, those little things that we don't consider. We don't stop to smell the roses anymore. We don't stop to find the simple joys in life. We get so tied into our smartphones and so glued to our TV. The last couple nights I've kind of sat out on Yogi's patio. She's got this kick-ass, like, oasis flowers everywhere, this cool couch with, like, just pillows on it and stuff, and got a nice little fire feature going on there, and I have my hot tub out there, and but I've just been spending time sitting out there at night with the lights over it. Got these nice little Italian strung LED bulbs that will do whatever I want them to do. And I've just been sitting out there trying to stay away from my phone and just watching the boys wrestle over that tennis ball and just trying to get in touch with how much fun it is sometimes just to run with a ball. And I tell you, watching those dogs, I get way more relaxation than watching the TV or scrolling through Instagram. It's just, it's kind of cool. And then I came across this, Mark Twain. When is Mark Twain ever at a loss for words? Well, now he's fucking dead, but when he was alive, man, this guy was just a wordsmith. And he wrote, "The dog is a gentleman. I hope to go to his heaven, not man's." How cool would that be? It'd be all mofos smoking too much weed. Maybe I am, but I'll tell you what. I hope to go to his heaven, not mine. Think of what a perfect world those guys have. And now I got my captive audience, so I'm going to tell stories. I'm going to tell stories about the old man, Remington, my favorite chocolate lab. Labradors are built to swim. If you ever look at a Labrador's feet, they're actually webbed. I believe they were bred in the Newfoundland, whatever. They were supposed to get fishing nets. That was their original purpose. I'm butchering it. Whatever, it's my fucking show. Deal with it. But they're swimmers, right? Well, Remy was the one lab that wouldn't swim. Like, that dog hated fucking water. Hated it. Like, drink it and spill it all over the floor, but, you know, like, he just did not swim. He'd wade in it, but he did not swim. And I, you know, I even tried forcing him. And he knew how to swim. He just chose not to, which was actually really funny. And he was a pointing lab, which I had no intention of ever paying the money to have a pointing lab. He just happened to be the runt of a litter of pointing labs. You know, he's purebred, all that happy shit. But I got him for, you know, a real good price. At the time, it was all I could afford. And little did I know, I was getting quite possibly the greatest dog I've ever had the pleasure to shoot over. He wasn't classically trained. He went through obedience training and did all that kind of shit. And then I had a friend who was a big dog guy, brought me in a pigeon one day, and we let him chase the pigeon and, you know, just made him lose his mind and get birdie. So he just, you know, learned to love birds and ran a few pheasant wings for him to play with, and once he got that scent, it was all over. My first trip ever out into a field with him, he flushed the biggest rooster I've ever shot. Now, not that he knew that it was the biggest rooster I ever shot, he just happened to find the bird right away, and I mean, that just sealed the deal. It was all over after that hunt. He was hooked. I'm used to hunting over clumsy flushers, right? They just get out and make so much noise that they scare up the pheasant, they scare up the grouse, and I'm good with that. I don't need a pointer. I don't need to walk up and kick the bird up myself. I love the surprise. I'm a derelict hunter, and I don't give a shit. But one of my favorite stories is, maybe you guys can hear the dogs upstairs wrestling on the wood floors. Breaking shit. Yogi's gonna kill him. Funny. But we found a WMA, wildlife management area, down in southern Minnesota, my friend Ben Bob and I. And it was an 88-acre parcel that was surrounded by a irrigation canal that was probably 15 to 20 feet wide, and I think it was 6 feet deep in some areas. But there was a little land bridge where they had an irrigation pump going in that you could walk and get into this. But nobody ever hunted it because it was a pain in the ass to get into. Well, once we discovered it, it was on. We'd limit out in that field every time we went. But one of the classics, well, there's two classics, but I'll tell the Pheasant Under Glass story first because it's my favorite. In fact, I think, did I read Pheasant Under Glass? Maybe I read that back in a way. I don't know. I was reading old stories I found from my premature blog. Whatever. We're going to tell that story again. So, Ben had two dogs. He had Morgan the Springer, and Morgan the Springer would just go after deer and shit. I mean, like, this dog had a phenomenal nose, but it just had no interest in doing anything for us. It did everything for itself, which, you know, worked with Ben Bob, didn't work with me much. I was never a fan. But he picked up this black lab named Kenzie, and Kenzie was dumb, with a capital D, dumb, but just a sweet lab, just a very sweet black lab. But so anyways, Remy, Kenzie, and Morgan are working the field, and we get to a corner, and Dummy gets hot. You know, Remy, he's tail spinning, and he's pointing, just an ugly point. He's not trained to point, so it's his ugly point, which is he stops, and he kind of curls one foot, really confused, and the tail's going 100 miles an hour, like, I don't know what to do. And then finally, Morgan came over and kicked it up, and I get this nice arcing slide. This pheasant goes up, arcs over, gives me both wings, you know, just that beautiful turning glide, and I pop it, and it drops straight down into that ditch, the irrigation ditch. So it hits the water, and I'm instantly just going, oh shit, you know. So I get Remy. Remy watched it fall, so I get Remy down there. I'm like, all right, hunt him up, get him. And Remy runs in until it's chest deep and stops. And I mean, there's like skim ice, like a very, very light level. And of course, you know, he busts through that, and God damn it. Well, so the trick I had for him was I'd always carry a bag of milk bones with me. So I pull out a milk bone, I throw it, and it lands right on the ice next to the pheasant. And so Remy wants this milk bone like it's nobody's business, right? So he's pawing at the ice, but, you know, he won't go past it. Well, here comes Morgan, full blast, hits the ice, breaks through it, grabs the milk bone, steps on the pheasant, pushes the pheasant under the ice, and then she runs out. So now I take another milk bone, throw it back out on top of the ice, where Kenzie goes running out and slaps on the bird, grabs the milk bone, comes back. I'm just like, son of a bitch, this pheasant's just floating out there. So anyways, yeah, it was late October. It was cold, and guess who had to get in the water? Who has two thumbs? This guy. Yeah. Those are my retrievers working for me there. God damn, that was cold. But yeah, I crawled out there, butt naked, got my pheasant, came back in where the dogs were all proud of themselves. I'm like, you dumb sons of bitches. Oh, Remy. Remy was my buddy. He was my hunter. He was my pillow. He was my fearless guard dog that would run away at the first sign of any danger. He was the vacuum for my kids. My kids were babies and toddlers with him. And they pulled on his tail. They pulled on his ears. They pulled on his feet. And he could care less. And he cleaned up every crumb they ever dropped. So, of course, he got overweight. And unfortunately, his prime years I spent in Afghanistan, I didn't even get to hunt over him in his prime years. And then we got to that last year of his life where he was in pain, but he was still happy. And we watched as long as we could watch, but then it got to the point where he was struggling to get up. And when he couldn't get up very well, it was time. And we were discussing time and when was right, you know, when we didn't want to go too early, didn't want to go too late. And I remember the last time I was going to go hunting, I was going to take Dutch. Dutch was the younger yellow lab at that point. And so on Monday, I was going to go hunting on Saturday. So on Monday, I put all my shit in the truck. Just, you know, got up for work one morning and took it with me. And on Tuesday, I put the gun in the truck. On Wednesday, I put my boots in the truck. And on Saturday morning, when I got up and snuck down in a pair of jogging pants and a t-shirt like I was going for a run, Remy was sitting there in front of the door. He knew. So I took the old man on his last hunt. And we walked for maybe 20 minutes. And he was working so hard, and it was so good to see him work and so good to see him happy. I just had to turn around early because I just couldn't work him hard. I just couldn't do it. I brought him back to the truck, and we sat in the back of the truck. And I cuddled him, got him home. My ex threw a heating blanket on his hips. We had that last hunt together. It was such a cathartic, full circle move for that hunt. And it was so good because he got his way and he knew, no matter how sneaky I tried to be, he knew. But when that day came, we had actually hired a doctor who came out, you know, did a house call. And, you know, that morning, I made him some bacon and eggs. That afternoon, he got a cheeseburger, the entire thing. And then we even gave him a little brick of chocolate because, you know what? Nobody should die and not have tasted chocolate. And damn it, he loved it. It was the most wonderful experience I've ever had. To hold him in my arms while she gave him that shot. And he went so peacefully, not even a grimace. They sedate him really well first, and then they give him one that stops his heart. And I held him. I cried. I carried him to her car, and I put him in the back seat, and that's my only upset thing about the thing was my wonderful hunting dog got carried away in a Prius. That was hard for me to accept, but she was such a lovely lady. She was so wonderful, and she sent back a paw print and a plaster cast with his name. And I got his remains in a beautiful oak box, and it was so perfect. It was so full circle. It was so full circle. And I'm glad I did that. I'm glad that I was there. I'm glad that I didn't leave him alone in the end. You know, Dutch's time is coming up now, and that's going to fall on my ex. And for that, I'm sad. You know, like, I don't wish her having to console the kids through that. I'm still here. Maybe I'll be back by then. Who knows? But, you know, it just sucks, man. It just sucks. And that is their greatest fault, is that their life is so short. But you know, somebody once said something to the effect of, when you look at a headstone and you see the born on and then the date they died, it's that dash is what matters. What do you do with that dash between the day you're born and the day you die? And I mean, that applies to everybody. We're in that dash right now. How are we going to use that dash? How are we going to get every moment out of that? How are we going to live our lives so that there's no "I wish, if only I had"? That always brings me back to Chief Joseph and his wonderful prayer. You know, let your heart be free so that when you die, there's no regrets, and go out like a warrior singing your death song. Like, I love that. I love that. But you know, I look at these guys, I look at Buddha, and there's so much hope, so much promise, so much goofiness, so much love. And I want to use that love. I want to take that love with me, and I want to feel it and be a part of it and be present in it, right? I get the unconditional love from him every morning. He's so stupid excited to see me in that kennel. He's just shaking that tail, and oh, he's bouncing up and down, you know, and I just want to be the person that my dog thinks I am. At least half the person that my dog thinks I am. It's such a special relationship, and it's so worth the pain. It's so worth that. And I think about the way I feel about those anniversary dates that we all, vets, we all have an anniversary date, right? You know, those days where we don't say much, but we drink that extra drink and, you know, feel that loss. And it just, every time it reminds me, man, it's about the dash. It's not about the date. It's about the dash. We got to work that dash. We got to get that dash all up, right? Fill that cup. Feel that love. Your friends, your family, your dogs. What are we going to do with that dash? How are we going to make that dash into something? How are we going to leave a legacy? I'm working on that. I think one of the greatest things ever is about to happen. You know, my Colorado trip, which I've actually extended out for another week on the back half so that I can just get out, ride, and explore, celebrate my retirement. It's leaving my legacy. It's filling up these experiences. It's checking things off of the bucket list, as it were. We always think, I got time, I'll do that next year. But there's always next year. There's always next year, man. I'm doing everything I can to not put anything off. I am going to hunt Buddha inside out. I'm going to run my bike inside out. I'm going to run my truck inside out. I am going to love like there's no tomorrow, because that dash is all we got. And we got to make it amazing. We've got to stop dwelling on things that were and working on things that will be. Life is such an amazing gift. Dogs are fucking favorite part of this life, followed closely by motorcycles, hockey, and violence. I forgot fucking. I should have put fucking in there somewhere, but hey, we all know what that is. So get out, seize the fucking day, make your dash mean something, build your dash up, get out there, kick those tires, light those motherfucking fires, go fast as fuck. Do not die. Because as much as I joke about it, safety third.